Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
WGN. Good morning, everybody. It's Jane Monzuris, just filling in on a fill-in. Happy Monday, kicking things off on this, I guess, sort of a short week, right? Because it's a holiday week. Maybe this is the first day of work for many. Maybe
depends on if you like your family. It could be a really long week.
It could be a really long weekend. You do want to work all week, right, Steve?
No, not me. I love my family.
Experience right here?
No, not at all.
Steve, what did you do this weekend? Did you hit any of the Magnificent Miles lights or
no,
Chris Kendall?
No, I didn't. We saw the Mr. Rogers Neighborhood movie.
Oh, okay.
Did everybody see that? Cochran saw it, too.
Did he?
Yeah. He loved it.
And then we went home and watched the documentary. So it was an all Mr. Rogers night last night.
And how do you feel?
I feel happier, and I just want to make your day.
That's exactly what I think you're supposed to take away from
right.
it. I did a really cool event in Lake Barrington at the Tree Time Christmas Creations. It was a packed house in Lake Barrington at 8 a.m. talking about all of these holiday trends and Christmas trees and decorations. And I'm so impressed by the numbers of people that showed up at 8 a.m. in Lake Barrington. So thank you to Lori and Joe and Cassie and everyone out at Tree Time that had us out over the weekend. A lot of people know me from Living Healthy Chicago, which is a TV show that runs on the mothership of WGN TV Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. And it replays a lot on CLTV, I hear. But every now and again, my friends here at the radio station let me come in and goof around and play. So I'm here today, and we're going to talk about all of these things that are on my brain, which is how to avoid those family arguments, Steve, over the Thanksgiving holiday, Thanksgiving dinner, and also holiday travel. But Steve, you were saying that it could be a long week for people that are arguing with their family members and may not want to have.
Yeah, if they don't care to spend time with their family, maybe, or they're one or two members who are difficult.
Yeah.
Can't imagine that.
Did you know that a recent study says that 3/4 of us have at least one family member who annoys us? Right? So you could be arguing, you know, with family secrets that are being spilled. Maybe you're going to have some I don't want to talk about it moments.
I'd say it's time to bring up the will while you're there.
Or actually, I used to have, it was like my grandma used to always make fun of something I was wearing. Like, what's wrong with my black lipstick? But, you know, I wore black lipstick, and it's fine with that. What about the weird uncle? We've got that, too. Or the disengaged millennial always spending time on their phone? We know that. So I'm looking at a recent poll from YouGov, and it says the most likely reason for a family fight over the holidays is mostly caused by long-standing family tensions. There's that will that you were talking about, Steve.
Exactly.
So let's see. Also, according to this poll, 37% say it's general politics that will cause an argument. 33% say it's the 2020 presidential race. 24% says it's someone's future plans. Kids home from college. What do you think you're going to do?
Well, you know, and I feel for those. I've only recently been told about this. I guess I had when I was younger, too. Are you married yet? Are you seeing anyone?
Or are you pregnant yet?
Are you pregnant yet?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, the other thing is, once you just get married, and then a couple weeks later, are you pregnant? You can have a baby?
Yeah. Or, wait, you're not pregnant, are you?
Yeah, Jane, you just got
that
married.
Too.
I did. I've been married 5 weeks.
Congrats.
Thank you. I'll expect the cards in the mail.
Love
for
the
my
pictures.
five-week anniversary. Thank you. Let's see. Behavior of guests, 22%. Money, 24% of people get into a fight over money. And then alcohol could cause some fighting. That's 21%. And then also, this is my favorite one, the cooking. Who is in charge of what, or that martyr syndrome? That I did so much and you're not cleaning up or you're not appreciating me or helping me. That's a small dose of people that you're going to fight over. I guess I would just spend my time in the kitchen. But to help add some perspective on how to handle the holidays is Oak Park-based psychotherapist Terry Fry Brookhart. She's a master's in clinical social work from Loyola. She has been counseling adults, individuals, families, couples since 1998. And she has her own private practice and has been doing that for a long time, since 2001. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Jane.
Hi. So, Terry, holidays can be stressful. And when you sprinkle in the family, there can be some very emotional days ahead. How do we prepare knowing that could be a stressful week coming up?
So there's lots of things that you can do to prepare. My biggest thing, and Jane knows this, is whatever you do and whatever you take from today's program, try to get a little exercise in before you go. So even if you aren't an exerciser, take a brisk 20-minute walk. It gets kind of the heebie-jeebies out. You get those endorphins going, and everything is just easier. So that would be the first thing.
I mean, you're speaking my language, right? Because I'm a big, huge fan of endorphins. So, of course, even if you don't have time to go take the walk, I say just do a big, long stretch. Even if you're in the car right before you're going to walk in and you don't really want to be there, just do a big stretch. Although, I mean, I don't know. I wish there was a poll that said how many people don't want to go to a family party. Because like Steve was saying, I want to go to my family party. I love my family.
So I think that's a good point, because I think that most people really look forward to going. And we tend to forget the stuff that maybe happened last year or that is familiar, sort of long-standing conflicts that maybe two people have with each other. And you're certain it's not going to happen this year. And I think that's a lot of what happens. People get disappointed because their expectation is this is going to be awesome. We're going to have sort of a Hallmark holiday.
Yeah.
Right?
And then it doesn't happen.
And then sometimes it doesn't happen. And I think that poll said something like 46% of people experience these things with long-standing sort of conflicts between two people.
They say 46%. Yeah, that's the most likely reason for a family fight, long-standing. You know, someone holds the grudge or something happened a long time ago and it's still sort of there, even though they said they've mended the fences. I'm not a huge fan of long-standing tension. I don't even like conflict. So for me, like, I can't hold a long-standing grudge because I'll just melt and just let the person. I don't want to deal with it. But that's me. I hate conflict, so I don't want to be somewhere where I feel there's tension and conflict. Let's talk about, and if anybody has a text or a call related to any type of concern they have going into the Thanksgiving weekend and seeing family, if you have a question for Terry, give us a call or text 312-981-7200. That is our number, text number. Let's give this situation. You're teenagers, tethered to the phone. Right. And maybe they're not sitting at the kids' table anymore. They're bringing them out. You're sitting at the adult table, but the phone, do you say, okay, this is a no phone zone, or do you excuse them early because they're annoying you?
So you could do either or all of those. But actually think about what you normally do. So do you allow phones at the dinner table?
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe you don't allow phones at the Thanksgiving table. Try and stay with what you normally do. Or at holidays, do you say put phones away till later? Or maybe you ask your teenagers, hey, when we're at the table at least, at the very least, would you just go ahead and put your phone away? Because your family wants to see you. They want to see who you are. They love you. And then later on, you can go to your phone.
And then have a conversation. Okay, so we're going to go to break really quick. If you have a question for Terry about a family situation that you might be looking at over this holiday, send us a text or call 312-981-7200. We'll take those now. And we'll be right back. Good morning, everybody. Jane Manzouras filling in this morning on a Thanksgiving week, I guess. It's Monday, so looking towards Thanksgiving week, maybe a couple of days. Some people work in today, some people not. Happy to be here with you. If you have any questions, give us a call or text 312-981-7200. We're talking about how to avoid family arguments or family unnecessary stress over the holiday season. A lot of friends, and I'm joined in studio with psychotherapist Terry Fry Burkhartz. Terry, a lot of people I've heard have to spend Thanksgiving with multiple families. So now you're married, you have kids, and you're like, oh, I'm going to my mom's for this first part of the day, and then I got to go to my dad's over here. And then there's split families, and this causes a lot of tension. The kids are getting tired and cranky. Do we draw the line somewhere and say, can't go?
So I would say that it depends on your family. So some people will say, can't go. We'll do it every other year. Others will say, and I think this is a great way to do it, let's do it Friday. Mm. Let's do it Wednesday. Excuse me. Let's do a different day so that everybody gets what they need.
Right. go ahead and have a little sip of water there, and I'll keep talking about some of the ideas. I have friends that will do a family party on Wednesday, and then they'll be cooking on Thursday for Friday, and they're switching up all of the days for parties. It doesn't seem, I think you just get exhausted and the kids get tired. But one of the other things is surviving a new girlfriend or boyfriend, whether it be kids bringing them in, which I think is fun and cute.
Because mm-hmm. I think so, too.
Right. Or it's meeting a new girlfriend or boyfriend after a divorce.
Well, and it depends on who you are. If it's your parent, you might feel differently than if it's your son or daughter. And how, depending on how you felt about the original spouse, right?
Right. You could be super happy.
That's yeah. right. It could be like, isn't this great? But the reality is just, it's a warm, wonderful holiday. So just have in your mind, open arms, open heart. I'm just meeting this person. And quite frankly, they're more nervous than you are.
True. I've actually been the person that's gone to the holiday in an immediate family. My new husband actually has a family of 28. And so there I am, this new person just sitting there and everyone's staring at you, wanting to talk to you and about you. And I'm so nervous and just trying to put on this, like, you know, happy face. And you know, that's just the jitters of meeting somebody new, you know. But if you think about recently divorced or maybe not yet divorced couples that are maybe having trouble, mm-hmm. and you have to go to a family situation, nobody knows what's going on, and you have to put on a happy face, pretend like everything is good. If you're working through it, I would say, or not working through it, how should a couple handle that?
So I think nobody wants to hear someone fight, right? No one wants that.
No.
So you really kind of have to shelve it, table it, not say little snarky comments to somebody else about your partner, and just put your best foot forward for the sake of the entire group. And I think sometimes if people think about it that way, it's easier to do than when they think about sort of that person that they have a conflict with.
Right. And I also think, too, you know, I wouldn't share what's going on. I don't think it's public knowledge. I would just get out there and I would leave early if I could.
Yeah, leave when you need to leave. And just keep thinking about how you want this to be and what you want people to know. And if it's been kept very private, this conflict, say with your spouse, if you show that openly, then you can't really control what people are going to say after that. It's no longer private.
Which is true. And like you said, you can't control what other people do. One of the things that you had mentioned was just be you. So when I can't control, someone's going to make fun of my black lipstick, which, by the way, I don't wear anymore. I can't control what's, you know, other people might say about my cooking, or if, you know, I disagree with someone's view on something. So I need to go in there with the mindset of,
I want to have a great time. I want this to be an awesome Thanksgiving or an awesome Christmas or Hanukkah or just a holiday party. So when you're thinking about that in your mind, think about, say, maybe someone makes a tongue-in-cheek comment about your clothing and says, oh, really cute dress. And you know that it's meant to, not in the nicest of ways, just say thank you. And move on. And you know what else is also really important is if you feel like there's someone there that you might have a conflict with, instead think about all the people that you'd love to see and love to talk to, and spend most of your time with those people.
Yeah, that's good. And that's easier to do when it's a bigger room, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Talk about this. The martyr. And I mentioned this in the poll, 18% of the family arguments would be caused by who's doing the cooking, who's bringing what, which I get it. Sometimes you have a list of who's doing what. But there's also that point when there's the one person who does all the work. I'm always doing all the work. I've done all the cooking. I've done all the cleaning. This would be me, right? Because I love to do all the cooking and cleaning, and I love to make it happen. But then at the same time, at the other end of that, I'd be like, well, no one said thank you, and no one likes it, and you're not eating enough. So, to me, I would maybe tell that person, thank you. just on the side, you know, just because you know that mom or grandma or aunt is going to blow up because you're not appreciating them enough. Well, it's going to, that will be me for sure. But how do you handle that? Is that right? You go on the side and you just thank them before it all starts?
I think you can do both. I think you can really thank someone and acknowledge how much work they've done. And you can also thank them publicly at the table. Thank you so much. This is so great. And that will make them feel really good.
Right. That strokes their ego a little bit. It makes them feel appreciated, and then everybody's happy. All right. Well, Terry, great information on how to keep our holidays happy and joyful and not stressful. If you want more information from Terry, you can find her at terrytherapy.com. Terry, stay right there. We'll say goodbye to you. We're going to hit break really quick, and we'll be right back. 720 WGN. All right. One last bit of advice from psychotherapist Terry Burkhardt. Terry, how do we go into our Thanksgiving and expect it to be the best? What's our mindset?
You know what? All you can do is think about, what's the holiday about? Thanksgiving is about appreciation. Go in there, think about what you want, and hope that it happens.
I love it. Gratitude is what we're thinking about today. Okay, so for more information, coping with family, psychotherapist terrytherapy.com. Coming up, we're talking about Thanksgiving. We're talking about food and all my favorite things.
Look! I got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, ribs, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkeys, rabbit.
You name it!
Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, ram, pork, dog.
720 WGN. Hi, everybody. I'm Jane. Filling in on the fill-in. It's, let's see, it's Monday. Happy Monday. We're talking about Thanksgiving week. I don't know where you got that song. Am I supposed to know that song? Because I liked it.
No, you don't have to.
Gene, what is it? Beans, potatoes?
It's like a, I don't know, this woman, I think it was last year or 2 years ago, was doing a sermon and started listing off different food items. So then a DJ just took it and then remixed it with some music underneath it. And now it's like the Thanksgiving theme song.
It's a great Thanksgiving theme song.
Thank you.
And that's what we should be playing all week. So now we've gotten through all of our coping with family issues and family troubles. And I'm on to Thanksgiving menu planning. So I guess it's dinner prep week. It is thinking about what you're bringing week. What's my side going to be? When do I start cooking that turkey? So joining me in studio right now, the award-winning executive chef, author, and canning expert. He recently opened Gaijin. Can't say it.
Gaijin
in the West Loop, which has been called one of the most anticipated restaurant openings in Chicago this fall. It is Chef Paul Varant. Hi, Chef.
Jane, how are you doing?
I'm so good. Gaijin just opened.
It's
like
good to be here.
2 weeks ago? No, 4 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago today. Actually,
well, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
You can't get in.
Well,
that's a good thing.
I don't know about that, but
no, that's bad. You can get in.
That is a good thing.
Everybody needs to go there.
We do have a counter and a bar that seats 21 people that we reserve for walk-ins. So,
I love so, just belling up to the bar.
You know, the rest of the room is you know, we take reservations obviously for the rest of the room, but so there is that opportunity for walk-ins for sure.
So, Gaijin is an Okonomiyaki restaurant.
Oh boy,
it's easy for me to say. You see.
it's an Okonomiyaki restaurant.
That's what I said.
Okonomiyaki.
That's exactly what I said. What does that mean?
So, Okonomiyaki. Okonomi means have it your way, mm-hmm. and yaki is grilled or griddled. Okonomiyaki is a savory cabbage pancake that hails from Japan's second city, which would be Osaka. Isn't that kind of cool that we're in our
second
own second city?
I got it right away.
Yeah, you got it. Hails from Osaka. It's a savory cabbage pancake that has customizable opportunities. There are two kind of distinct styles, one of which comes from Osaka, where all the ingredients are mixed together. So you have cabbage, scallions, dashi, flour, egg, pickled ginger, and tempura flakes, and then that's cooked on the teppan or the griddle.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Hiroshima style, similar ingredients, but it's layered. So it's sort of layered with the cabbage and the scallions. There's bacon. And the other distinguishing component of Hiroshima is it has the yakisoba noodles. So it's got the wheat noodles that is
a layer of the pancake.
So you put that on the pancake, or it's part of the pancake?
It's part of the pancake. When you make the Hiroshima, which the nice thing about Gaijin is, you know, you can see all this happen because it's an open kitchen.
Oh.
So but when you make you start with a crepe layer for the Hiroshima, then you add the scallions and the cabbage and the mung bean sprouts, and then you put a little more batter over the top of that. Then you add bacon slices on the top of that.
Wow.
Then you flip it over.
I just gained 5 pounds.
No, you didn't. Mm. you flip that over, and then now the bacon is cooking on the bottom side. And then you stir fry some yakisoba noodles with yakisoba sauce, and then that whole pancake goes on top of the noodles. And then you crack an egg, and then that whole pancake
goes... I love
goes,
anything with yeah. an egg cracked on it.
So, and the pancakes are garnished with QP mayo, okonomiyaki sauce, which is like basically like 15 different fruits and vegetables.
So here's my question.
Yeah.
You're
so many questions.
There's so many questions. I know you're sitting in my head right now. You're a farm kid from Missouri, right?
Well,
you're a Midwestern guy.
Yep.
How do you get this
okonomiyaki?
Thank you. You have other restaurants that are not this type of flavoring.
That are not Japanese restaurants?
Correct. Cuisine, I should say. Where does this come from? Like, did you go and visit? Was this something you always wanted to do? Do you just really like those flavors? And do you have a Thanksgiving version?
There could be. Not this year, but maybe next year. Grew up in St. Louis, grew up out in the country, and, you know, farm to table, contemporary American food has been my mantra. Okonomiyaki has been a part of my relationship with my wife for a long time because she studied Japanese in college at Duke.
Ah, okay.
And she lived over there for a semester and fell in love with okonomiyaki. So she introduced me to the dish when we first started dating.
How long have you been married?
We've been married 21 years.
So this is sort of an anniversary gift to your wife.
Yeah, it sure is. That's kind of cool, right?
Did you ever tell her that? You put it in the little box and then open up the doors.
Well, I mean, not in so many words, but yeah, she knows. She
Okonomiyaki. Knows
is, and actually in the name too. The name is all her as well.
Does she picked it?
Yeah, she picked the name. It was her idea to do an okonomiyaki restaurant. So I had a restaurant in the Hotel Lincoln that was closing in 2016. So that was when this all process of Gaijin started.
So it takes about 3 years to finish.
It took just about 3 years.
But totally worth it.
So I met my partner that fall of 2016, or I guess that summer, Lance Richards. I met him then and pitched the whole idea to him. He loved it. We both took some quick trips over to Japan and really kind of confirmed that this was something that would be really kind of cool and unique and different. And here we are today.
I mean,
2 weeks opening.
And you opened in the West Loop, which is just on fire.
Yep.
Right? So 950 Westlake Street.
950 Westlake, right under the L stop right there at Morgan and Lake.
Oh, that's perfect. And it's a sit down. You're going to go in and sit and eat, or can you go in and grab a have it your way griddled pancake? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, there's definitely going to be a delivery and there already is a carry out piece too. But for sure, it's a dine in. Ultimately, we'll have the other opportunities as well, and we will have in 2020. We will have a really cool outdoor space as well because we have space up out in the front.
And we
of the
love
restaurant.
That. Yeah. Summertime's the best.
We're also doing kakigori too, which is pretty fun.
That sounds like somebody had a bad attitude at Thanksgiving.
Kakigori is Japanese shaved ice.
Oh, that's great. So is that on the menu just yet?
It's on the menu. Yeah,
oh, it is on the menu.
That's the dessert piece of Gaijin, along with mochi donuts also.
So you can go to gaijinchicago.com? Mm-hmm. Or just gaijinrestaurant.com.
Gaijin Chicago.
I think so, because I was on there stalking, and I did see little images of that dessert on there as well.
So my pastry chef Angeline, who oversees all the desserts and baking at V and Vistro, is overseeing the kakigori and the mochi donuts at Gaijin.
So. Okay, so you brought it up. You've got V Restaurant, which is in Western Springs.
Yep.
You've had that for a long time.
We had 15 years in August.
Congrats. And Vistro is in Hinsdale.
Yes, ma'am.
That's a 5-year run right there?
Yep.
So how do you split your time?
Well, you know, I'm fortunate enough to have a great, I mean, it's all about the team, right?
Yeah. Surround yourself with good people.
So to have a great team, my director of operations, Stephanie, and my chef Dan, my chef Eddie, you know, awesome team at the other restaurants. So, I mean, right now, primarily, obviously, I'm focusing on Gaijin because it's like having a child.
It's a newborn.
It's a newborn.
You're 4 weeks in.
Yeah,
okay, Gaijin is 950 Westlake Street. Mm-hmm. Everyone should go there. We're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
If you have some menu questions for Thanksgiving, can we talk Thanksgiving menu and ideas?
For sure,
Because you're a chef. You can make anything.
Well, I don't know about that.
You want to know how to cook that turkey, maybe some cool sides, you can send us a text or email, text or phone, 312-981-7200. And we are in studio with Chef Paul Varant. We'll be back to take your questions. 720 WGN. Hi, everybody. I'm Jane Munzer. Filling in on a great Monday of Thanksgiving week. Most people know me from Living Healthy Chicago. In studio with me is a chef we've had on the show many, many times, Chef Paul Varant. And I think, Chef, we were in your kitchen cooking a healthy meal at some point in our lives together.
Yes.
Do you remember what we cooked? It was like a meal for 4 people under $20.
I don't remember what we cooked, but I do remember. I mean, how could I forget the opportunity to cook with you?
Oh, Jane, please. Right? Yeah, I'm just, what was I doing in the kitchen besides like probably chopping my finger and eating whatever you were making?
You were an excellent taster.
I'm a great sous chef.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm a good home cook. I love home cooking, which is why I love cooking holidays like Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And it's fun for me to plan the menu and decide the sides. And I'm also Greek, so then I like to have Greek stuff on the table. And then I like to overcook for everybody because it makes me happy. As a chef, does it make you happy to see people eat?
Oh, yeah. It's awesome. I mean, that's what we're all about, right? We're all about entertaining, hospitality, you know, and giving people a feast that they love, you know. I think Thanksgiving is probably, I would say probably most chefs would say that's their favorite day of the year, I would think, you know.
Well,
I mean, it is for me.
I would think most chefs would say this is my day off.
You know, I think the sign of a cook or a chef that's really in it to win it are those are the ones that, I mean, they might not, you know, I mean, I think it's, you know, Thanksgiving or any holiday is a major undertaking, right?
Yeah.
On so many levels. So it's nice to engage multiple friends, family to get involved with the meal. I mean, you don't have to do everything, but I mean, I would be disappointed if you were a professional cook or chef and you weren't doing at least something.
So that's right? My question. Do you cook a full Thanksgiving meal? A lot of times, you know, the chefs that I talk to, at least if I visited a chef in their home to do a segment there, they have nothing in their fridge. If I visit a chef to talk about Thanksgiving, they're like, we let the whole family cook because I'm cooking all the time. Do you cook Thanksgiving?
I do. You know, this year is a little different because we're just, you know, we're nurturing a new restaurant, so it's been crazy. So my life has been kind of busy. So my wife and my younger son are involved. My mom is coming up from St. Louis. She's gonna bring some stuff. So it's kind of a all hands on deck. One of our friends is gonna bring something, but I am second year in a row. I am doing something. I am cheating on something, but it's delicious.
What is it?
Which I want to share.
You're gonna do a what is it? The can of cranberries,
no,
and you just
no.
pop it out of the can, and it's got the mold.
So my partner at Gaijin, Lance, his dad was from Jamaica, and as a tradition in his family for a long time, they would bring a fresh turkey to a Jamaican restaurant on the south side. The name of the restaurant is Campbell's, and they jerk the turkey for you. So he dropped off both of our turkeys late last week. He's going to pick them up tomorrow, and they're unbelievable. So that's how we're going to manage the turkey. Now I am going to cook. I am going to brine and roast another breast to have.
Yeah. Just in case somebody doesn't want
so,
the jerk turkey.
You know, I think that's kind of fun. That's something different.
You know what?
And it's spectacular.
I love the idea of semi-homemade. So now you're
right.
actually being homemade, but by somebody else. And that's okay if you're trying to conserve time, right?
Right. Yep. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's really all about being organized, right? I mean, it's time management and really being organized. Like you said, like, you know, whether it's a week out or a couple weeks out, planning the menu, what you're going to do, and then who's going to do it, right?
What do you think the biggest question people have about cooking the turkey is? Is it how many pounds do I get? How soon do I take it out to thaw?
Yeah,
how do I cook it?
There's probably a lot of, you know, yeah, if you're buying a frozen bird, you know, it's going to take a while to thaw, right? I mean, you should be thawing that thing out probably by the latter part of last week.
But you thaw it in the refrigerator.
Yes, so it's going to take a long time. It's going to take three.
Put it
three
on
days.
The counter.
Yeah, it's going to take 3 days to thaw a frozen bird that's between 15 and 20 pounds or so in the refrigerator. So, you know, if you're buying fresh, that's a little easier.
Right.
I think that's the big piece, right? You know, the sides. It seems to me like at least it's been a tradition in my family that, you know, that's something where there's multiple members of the family or friends that are involved. Like so and so's got a particular casserole that they bring every year, and that's just the deal, right? That's what
yeah,
they bring.
This is
so
what
that's,
they do.
That's fine.
Like in our family, my sister makes a it's like a cranberry Jello mold, and it's got some nuts in it, and it's like strawberry Jello, and she puts cranberries in it, and literally the whole family just eats it up because it tastes like dessert, but they mix it in with
it's
all
got
the
celery maybe in there too. Sometimes
I made it one time, but maybe or they're mixing it with the celery and the stuffing. But this is like something that she brings every, like this is what they ask
it's
for.
Perfect, right?
But it's a Jello mold that she probably got the recipe, I don't know, out of the paper 20 years ago.
Right.
So I love those secret family recipes that you bring to Thanksgiving. Is there anything that...
So the other part about the turkey is like, you know, whether or not you stuff the bird or not stuff the bird.
Right.
So, I mean, I haven't stuffed a bird in a long time. I typically will do the dressing, you know, I mean... If you're not stuffing it, it's dressing on the side,
right.
You know. I like to brine a bird. I think that, you know, I think putting a whole turkey in a brine, if you're going to roast a whole bird, I think that gives it an opportunity to stay moist. I mean, you're basically replacing the water or the moisture in the turkey with the brine. So then it'll have the seasoning, you know, whatever aromatics and flavoring that you have, the salt and stuff in the bird. And it you know, it gives you an opportunity because, you know, you gotta cook the turkey long enough to make sure that the dark meat is cooked, but you don't want to overcook the breast. That's the big issue.
And that's the part when you add the water to it, right?
So that's why you do the brine,
right.
So it'll give you a few more, you know, if you're gonna cook to make sure that the dark meat is cooked and the breast is still tender and moist, right? You know, it'll give you a little more wiggle room. Like you can push the temperature of the turkey high enough. You know, I don't know if I'm making this.
No, I feel like we might be like the turkey hotline right now.
We're just making up questions. The move is the brine. The brine is a good move.
If it is overcooked, what happens? Do you eat it? Do you just turn it into like a turkey tetrazzini,
which is tasty, right?
Yes, yeah, the best.
That's a whole nother show, right?
Yeah, like,
that's
a whole nother.
Let's talk about what to do with all the leftovers
the next day.
You know, I guess if you do overcook it, you know, the other mistake that people make often is they don't let the bird rest long enough, right?
But it gets cold.
Well, it won't get cold. I mean, you really need to let, if it's a 15 to 20 pound bird, that's gotta, if it comes out of the oven, if it comes out of a, you know, I mean, I recommend between 325 and 350 is a good temperature if you're roasting a big bird.
Mm-hmm.
But it's gotta rest for at least an hour.
I mean,
at least an hour. The other good move is, you know, is, I mean, you can, you know, and I've done this before too. You can roast the bird well in advance before the guests come, let it rest, you know, for an hour and a half, you know, really let it rest, and then carve the bird, get it all ready to go, have it in the dishes that you're going to serve it in, and then all you're doing is gently warming stuff up. You know,
yeah, it's, and it's not going to overcook that way anyway, and it's still going to be tasty.
And it can be, yeah, and then yeah, and even if you, if let's say you undercook it a little bit, well, then so you can cook it, you can cook it further as you're warming it up. You know, I think the holidays can be stressful and it can be kind of chaotic if you're entertaining a big group. Anything that you can do ahead of time to really sort of organize yourself.
Yeah.
So all you're doing is, I mean, obviously you need oven space, but all you're doing is just sort of flashing things, heating up at the last minute.
Yeah, and you get to then spend time with your family and friends that you've invited over to hang out with, because a lot of times you're just stuck in the kitchen, and then that's a big complaint because people want to hang out with you, but you're worried about cooking. So if you plan it properly, then you can do it.
You can sip on a glass of champagne.
Yes.
And, you know,
that's what you do anyway. You start doing that today as you're prepping the entire meal, and then it tastes better for everybody, even yourself. Do you cook? Are the restaurants V Bistro and Gaijin open Thanksgiving?
Closed.
Closed. All three.
All closed.
Yep. All three. Family day.
Yeah, that's an important day to be closed, right?
I think so too. Yep. Yeah.
And everybody's looking forward to it.
Everyone's looking forward. Okay, so V in Western Spring, Bistro in Hinsdale, Gaijin open in the West Loop.
Yep.
Social media handles, how to find you and Gaijin. At Paul Verrant?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's, I should
that's
know
all
these things. I
think we'll go Gaijin, G-A-I-J-I. You should, actually, I should know these things and have them written down. No, but your advice is good enough.
Probably at V Restaurant, at Vistro Restaurant.
Yeah, and then at Gaijin.
Gaijin Chicago.
But Gaijin Chicago is where we want to go on, it's our next destination.
Well, I'd say come to V, at V every Wednesday before Thanksgiving, we do a burger night at V, but I think we're sold out. We have like 277 on the books for that. So that's a big night at the restaurant. It's a very popular, because you're having turkey on Thursday. So
yeah.
So you want something different.
Yeah.
Right?
You don't want to eat turkey. So, then you're not going to eat turkey for 3 days.
Yeah,
Chef Paul Verrant, Chef, I always love talking to you. I love having you in. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Happy
Thanksgiving.
Have
an awesome Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Too.
Same to you. 720 WGN. Hi, everybody. I'm Jane Monzuris, filling in on a Monday before Thanksgiving. And what a week it's going to be. I want to say special thanks to Chef Paul Verrant for stopping by to talk all about his new restaurant, Gaijin Chicago, and it's gaijinchicago.com. I knew we were struggling to figure out what that website was, and it's G-A-I-J-I-N Chicago.com. Always love talking to Chef. He's fantastic. Coming up, we're going to talk about holiday travel, because these are the things that pop into my brain when we think about holiday season. I am traveling this weekend, as I'm sure a lot of people are, as it's one of the busiest travel weeks of the year. So stay tuned for that. If you have any questions, comments, 312-981-7200, and we'll take it from there. But are you traveling, Cassara, at all?
I am not. My entire family is here, so I will just be waking up and walking downstairs, because I'm living with my mom right now while my house is being remodeled.
Oh, nice. So you're just going to walk downstairs. So you can just continue to wear your pajamas. I'm traveling to Buffalo.
What day are you leaving?
I leave Wednesday.
Ooh.
And I think it's going to be bad weather.
Oh, yeah. And then we're getting snow.
Yep.
I have to drive to northern Wisconsin. Yikes.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a trip.
Did you know he was from Buffalo when you decided to marry him?
Yeah. Exactly. You know the weather there?
Cold begets cold. This is what's happening.
Good luck.
They're very Midwestern. I know. Thank you so much. I'll be stuck at the airport if we have bad weather.
I want to fly like an eagle to the sea.
That's what we're all going to be doing this week, 720 WGN. Hi, I'm Jane Monzuris, filling in on a Thanksgiving Monday. Thanks so much for having me and being here with me. Big week of holiday travel. I'm hopping on a flight to Buffalo. I mentioned that, but that's a super easy trip. I mean, we can do that with our eyes closed. Actually, I hope it's an easy trip, because if there's any weather, then it could be bad delays. And then, of course, if the airport's going to be super busy, that's going to be tough, too. And I know people are planning to escape the cold for other destinations this holiday season, not just this week. But joining me in studio, travel expert, author, New York Times featured writer, Amy Tara Koch. Hi, Amy.
Hey,
Oh, wait, let me turn you on. Hi, Amy.
Oh, hey, Jane.
Amy, you're just back from Paris. Every time I look at your Instagram feed, you're in another exotic land. You're never in town.
That's not true.
This is not true.
I'm here for Thanksgiving. Every Thanksgiving, I'm here.
Because?
I detest traveling over Thanksgiving is number one. But number two is it's very important to my mother-in-law to have us all here. And I love to cook, so I cook half the meal.
So the only thing I got out of that is from the travel expert, the first bit of advice is don't travel on Thanksgiving.
You know, it depends. If you like the classic holiday at home, which my kids really, really like, then, you know, you want to kind of be in a house situation. One year we did go away to Miami. We went to a hotel and we had the Thanksgiving and it was kind of a bust and the kids didn't like it. And it was nice weather, but it's supposed to be cold at Thanksgiving. Yeah. So for me, it's fine.
Yeah. I like to get up and do the turkey trot.
Yes.
But I travel someplace to go do a turkey trot. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it here in Chicago. When we're talking about holiday travel, I mean, the interview could be over at this point because you just told us all not to travel on Thanksgiving. But
no, I said I don't like to travel on Thanksgiving.
I love to talk about travel etiquette. And so maybe give us some of your pointers when you're on a plane. Because for you, jumping on a plane is like jumping in a cab, right? You're just like, I'm here, I'm there. I get to the place where I need to be. But being on a plane for some people is, you know, something they don't want to do or they're not used to it.
Yeah, it's a good question. Things have gotten more and more stressful as seats have gotten smaller, lines have gotten longer, as the airfares have gotten less expensive with the advent of JetBlue and Southwest and all these other airlines, more and more people are traveling. And so basically, it makes people anxious. And even if you don't realize how anxious you are when you're sitting crunched up and so uncomfortable.
And everyone around you is sneezing.
So I always say you have to be really prepared. And being prepared is on so many, just lots of levels. So be prepared with entertainment, first of all. Bring headphones. Bring Netflix has been the best thing like for me. I download so many things onto my phone and I just always plan on 10 hours of delays on both sides. But what's really difficult if you don't have children, especially at this time of the year, there are so many kids traveling. Kids are loud. I'm a mom. It's like kids are loud. Kids scream. So guess what? Bring earplugs or bring Bose noise-canceling headphones. I mean, you can't tell a mom to hush her kid. She's going to be trying, but just assume that it's going to be very loud is what I tell people. Also, always bring food because
snacks.
Don't ever, ever assume you're going to get any food or any drink. So I always bring easy-to-transport snacks. I bring almonds. I bring bars. I bring carrots are one of my things. My kids have banned me from bringing hard-boiled eggs because they said it's absolutely repulsive.
They smell.
And actually,
I've done that before.
Everyone looks at you with the meanest look.
You're the person with the stinky food. You're like, who is that? Who? Even if you're buying something at the airport and it's smelly, you sort of look at that person like, really?
I mean,
but I do it.
I think McDonald's is like a travel felony. Yeah. If you, I want to issue like a citizen's arrest for anyone bringing
that. But you know the smell of McDonald's, so at least you know what that person is eating. It smells like McDonald's.
Right.
Sometimes you're smelling a foreign food, and I don't mean foreign food as it's like, you know, a different type of food, just smelling something you're not familiar with. And
right.
Like, what is that? It's some kind of wrap or roll that they got. It's hot.
Yeah. It's true. One other piece of advice I would say is if your flight is a little longer than you are normally used to, I would try to get economy, bump it up to premium, just so you have a better seat. You can get on the plane first, and you should definitely always check your seats. Never wait till the last second because you do not want to be in front of the turlet.
Correct. Yes. I love the premium seats, but I have to get status to get premium seats because I don't want to pay for them. But I want to tell you the story. Is little boy Owen, first flight on an American Airlines flight that I was on, so sweet with his mother and grandmother, passed out candy bags. It had earplugs, it had headache medicine, it had nuts, it had candies, all wrapped up with a little note that said, I'm so sorry if I cry, it's my first flight. And she handed it out to probably the six rows around her.
This has been a hotly contested thing, the I'm sorry sack that has been, I wrote about this. A lot of parents get really anxious their kids are going to flip out. And you know what? I'd rather have a parent get anxious versus have a parent not care, because that parent who doesn't bring things to, you know, keep their kid engaged and busy and food and all that is worse. But people do it. My cousin did that. Two rows in front, two in back. And you know what? It's amusing. And if you give that to somebody and your kid does
it's
cry.
It's so amusing.
It's it's kind of a it's a sweet gesture. Is it required? No, it's not. But what is required is if you have young kids, is to bring them things so they are engaged, they're busy, and bring them food so they're not screaming, because that is not a nice thing to do.
Or bring them a screen so they can watch it.
Yes.
Screens are important.
Yes.
I want to talk about agitated flight attendants. Yeah. I married a flight attendant, so I can bring this up.
Yeah.
We're going to do that right after this short break. More with Amy Terakoch on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Hi, everybody. I'm Jane Monzuris. Just in this morning, hanging out, talking about Thanksgiving week. I'm in studio with travel expert Amy Terakoch. And before the break, we were talking about this child on a flight that I had met, and they were handing out, what did you call the bag?
Oh, God.
Forgive me bag?
I'm sorry bag. Yeah. Sack or something.
Yes,
right?
Yeah. And she handed out. It was so cute that I Instagrammed it and storied it, and American Airlines was happy. You wrote an article about midair meltdowns, and you brought this up a little bit, you know, when we were in the break, because you've got all these tips.
Well, there's a big issue now with people that are really being obnoxious to parents and very aggressive with parents who have kids who are making noise, and kids do make noise. And so what I did in the story is I interviewed a psychiatrist from Yale. I interviewed somebody from the Erickson Institute here in Chicago, a pediatric expert on techniques to get your kid to calm down, chill out, and behave, and setting parameters and boundaries before you travel, especially on a long trip. And also some tools of things that you should bring, various games, and, you know, planning, making a snack an activity, and planning an activity literally every 30 minutes. And mom and dad, you may want to dive into Netflix, but if you have tiny children, you can't, because right. If you leave them too long, especially if you leave them watching a movie for 2 hours and don't give them food, they're going to flip out. And so this was all about preparing really with expert advice.
But sometimes you can't help it if it's a baby. Like, it's a little baby going home for the first
time. Well, that's the point. And my cousin was traveling on JetBlue for the first time with her young child and finally getting him settled down. And someone kicked her chair from behind and said, "You really need to get that baby to behave." And she was on a tiny plane. She had tried her hardest, and she picked the baby up, went to the back, started crying. And so another one of the tips is to talk to the airline attendant, because they've all been trained in de-escalation. Instead of talking to this person directly who's already agitated and angry, speak to the attendant, who will then come and say, "You know what? If I can move your seat, or here's a snack, or something to make that other person feel better," because there's a lot of emotion riding high in a very small space. So it's difficult.
If your child is crying and screaming, then you're already stressed out. So
right.
You really need someone else to diffuse the situation. And I do love the onboard crew. They're amazing people. I married a flight attendant, and I married an FA. So I get all the stories, and he doesn't get agitated. But sometimes I notice that you might be asking for a little too much. We have to remember that the flight attendants are people too, right?
Yeah.
So is the customer is always right. Sometimes, I mean, nobody knows that I'm related to somebody who may work in the airline. And so they may have a poor attitude to me. Do you think that's because times are changing in the air?
I just think it's just like everything else. There are so many people flying. There are fewer amenities. There's less space. There's less food. There's less cordiality across the board. And so everyone has a short fuse, and people scream a lot and lose their temper. And I think it's important to remind ourselves to be gracious, to be humble, to take a deep breath. I was really, really uptight before I left for my flight last week, and I brought lavender. And I bring it a small thing, and I was just inhaling it on the way to the airport just to calm myself down, because I was just upset about something. And I just think thinking about these techniques, or bringing music, or bringing headphones to tune other things out, you have to have a backup plan to really kind of put yourself in a bit of a nest and protect yourself from people around you as well.
Because you're on so many long flights.
Yeah.
You've got to, like, a 9-hour flight to you is really no big deal. You just sort of know what you break out your hours. Is that how you deal with it?
Yes.
Sometimes an hour flight can be long for somebody, but once you get used to it, like in your boat, you're just like, man.
Exactly.
It's just
I read for
day.
Part of the time. I'm watching movies, but I always have earplugs, headphones, music, and entertainment, and a book, and a lot of food, because I never like what they're going to serve and has a lot of salt in it. So That's
and the last thing, having the salt on the plane, and then you're already
dehydrated
and bloated.
Yeah,
dehydrated, and what is it when you get up and you swell? Yeah, you're swelling already. And if you add the sugar to it, I was in Moorea, which is an island about 30 minutes away from Tahiti recently. And I noticed after that super long flight, my ankles were just huge.
Cankles.
It was awful. I'm like, what happened to me?
Yeah, you have to get... Well, you know, it was funny. I was interviewing an elite athlete recently for a story coming out. It was Michaela Schifrin, the skier. And she was telling me that she drinks tons of water, always with a little juice in it for the electrolytes. And she just drinks and drinks and drinks, gets up and walks, drinks and drinks. No alcohol ever on a plane. Right. I mean, I never would have that. But also just being very careful and conscious of what you eat. Eating protein, don't get on a flight really hungry, eating apples, eating stuff that's easily digestible. So you have to be conscious of that if you swell up like that.
I know, but thankfully it went away the very next day. Let's see, we have a caller here. Let's see. Joni has a... Joanne. Hi, Joanne.
Hi.
You're on WGN. You had a flight attendant who had a strong body mist.
Well, yeah, it was. I'd never experienced this before. I was sitting on the aisle, which I usually sit on the aisle, and this woman's cologne was so strong. And when they came by, like with the drink cart and everything, and so it was, they were standing there for quite a while. I'm very sensitive to fragrances, and this, I mean, I was getting a headache. I was getting nauseous every time she walked by. I was like, oh my God, how do you handle something like that? Where the flight attendant is the one that's giving you distress.
You know, it's I'm the same way. I am allergic to everything, and I always bring allergy pills on the plane. I always travel with a scarf. I'm always wearing a scarf, not an outdoor scarf like a wool scarf, but a silk scarf. Just for that, I like to have something to put over my face in case of such a situation. And I have actually moved before if it's been a person next to me that either smells like cigarettes or perfume, because
you've asked to move.
Oh yeah. Because I can't, I literally couldn't stand. I had a 3.5 hour flight, and my daughter was with me, actually. But, you know, people should actually be conscious and not put strong body mist or like Axe underarm spray, just to be a bit conscious. But I always have a scarf and allergy pills just to protect myself.
That's a good idea. Yeah, because what could you do? The flight attendant, she's going to be walking by.
She's working.
Actually, you know, you just want to go.
Well, maybe you can run up to the front and drop some coffee and make her stay up there and clean it up or something.
Now that's an expert tip. Thanks, Joan.
There you go.
Thanks, Joan. Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving. Safe travels to you.
Thank you. You too. Okay. Bye-bye.
That is interesting. Mm. Here we go.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know how to turn it off. So, Siri, you're going to have to. Thanks. Yeah, I always wear a scarf because I'm afraid of getting germs, right? I just wrap the scarf around my face. Another question came through is, do you know a place to get the best price flights? Where should we be looking?
You know,
you have a favorite place?
It's such a tricky thing. People are talking a lot about, I believe it's called Scott's Cheap Flights, and you can get these alerts, and you have to be kind of ready to jump on the go to go, oh, there's a $200 flight to Paris. So kind of jump and go. I just think the Google flight alerts are really great. Expedia is good. Also just using your points. If you want to go somewhere last minute, I'm a big fan of just using my American points, my United points, or my American Express points. But in terms of the tickets, you really want to set these alerts. But these Scott's Cheap Flights, I hear everybody talking about that. I never travel that way. I don't want to go on the dime like that, but people love it.
I love it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Coming back, if you can't go on a trip, we're going to send you on a trip to the United Center. So we're going to give away some Blackhawk tickets. And I have a quick question for you about points in studio with us, Amy Tara Koch, 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Hi, everybody. I'm Jane Monzuris. We are talking about holiday travel. Amy Tara Koch in studio with us. And Instagram is at Amy Tara Koch and AmyTaraKoch.com. Amy, you brought up this thing. I'm obsessed with my points, right? I want to get miles and points. Yeah. You have something called pointshound.com. What is that?
I just discovered this. So there's Points is a company that buys up tons and tons of airline miles. So when you get something that says United and American are having sales, it's actually Points that's doing it. And Pointshound is an arm of their business. And you can book hotels all over the country. I just did it for Ann Arbor with the graduate, and I got 8,300 American Airlines points.
And then you can use those points for travel.
Exactly, but I didn't pay any more for my room. It was the exact same price it would have been anywhere. So yesterday, I was looking up New York, and there's a hotel that I really like called the Surrey, and it was the exact same price, if not a little cheaper. And it's like 8,000 points. And you can pick if you want American or United or how you like
the... Yeah, you pick your rewards thing.
How you want the rewards served up, essentially. So it's just a good tip. It's like you're paying it for it anyway, so it's
good
a bonus.
Yeah. Pointshound.com. More from Amy's articles or anything more with Amy, go to amytarakoch.com. Amy, if you can't go on a trip, we're going to send you to the United Center. I've got a pair of tickets for the Chicago Blackhawks versus the Colorado Avalanche game this Friday, November 29th. Courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing, for all the right reasons. Four Seasons. Find the Four Seasons Heating Cooling.com. Give me a number 1 through 10.
7.
7. Okay, caller 7. Will you call in right now? They're already calling. It's 312-981-7200, and you win those tickets. 720 WGN. WGN. And now this music is getting me in the holiday spirit. If my time at Tree Time Christmas Tree Creations last weekend didn't do it, or all my talk about Thanksgiving, this certainly is making me happy. It's Jane Monzuris joining you on a Monday morning. Feel free to text in and say how much you're loving hanging out with all of this holiday talk. 312-981-7200. My next guest is a brand new friend of mine, and I don't think he knows that yet, but he is. He is a world-renowned dancer and choreographer, Alexei Kremnev. Now, Alexei, hi.
Hi, Jane.
Oh, well, let me put that on. Hi.
Hello, Jane. How are you?
Alexei doesn't know that he's my new best friend, but Alexei runs a ballet company called A&A Ballet.
It's Ballet Center.
Ballet Center.
Because it includes youth company, and it includes company, and of course, like Center for Dance.
Center for Dance. So this is how, well, first of all, Alexei is... been dancing for forever, and we're going to get into that. And he's been doing choreography for forever, and we're going to get into that. Some of his work has been presented at the Bolshoi Theater in Moscow, Lincoln Center in New York, the Opernhaus Zurich in Switzerland, among other prestigious venues across the globe.
Thank you.
You've been written about by so many magazines and newspapers. The Huffington Post says his choreography is as encompassing the best and brilliance of what movement can be while breaking boundaries of what we know. We are going to talk about a performance in your school, but first... I want to tell everyone how we met. I got married 5 weeks ago, because I keep telling everybody that. And I was looking to do a special tribute at my wedding for the father-daughter dance. And I didn't know what to do, and I wanted it to be a true performance. In my head, there's always sort of a production going on. And I knew I wasn't going to skip the father-daughter dance because it was way too important for me. My dad passed away in the year 2000, so he's been gone a long time. And I met Alexei through a friend of a friend, and I walked in and practically begged him to create a performance using some of his dancers to perform. And I thought, this guy, there's no way he's going to say, yeah, we'll do it. And he looked at me with his sparkly eyes and said, absolutely. What made you say this is something that we would do?
I think it was a great idea, the number one. And like number two, because idea from you was absolutely clear. And it was romantic, it was touchy. And we talked like 5 minutes, and I understood like about conception of the piece. And I just wanted to help.
You just wanted to help. And so, you know, I hired Alexei, and you used about five of your students?
Used five girls, yeah.
Five. And let's explain. So the Ballet Center, you have students from all over the country that come take class.
Yes, absolutely. Actually, we have international program, international youth company, because it's, again, our mission is providing opportunity on stage and, of course, like in the classroom. So it's extremely, extremely important, because if you're 19 or like 20 years old, like you need to get a job.
Yeah.
So in our center, like it's again, we give them opportunity and we give them hope. for the future.
So maybe get a job with a dance company then.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about your, by the way, the performance. There wasn't a dry eye in the house. The girl, there were five girls all wearing white. They all held up one white candle, which was your idea, and they danced around it. And the song I used with Luther Vandross, Dance with My Father Again. It was just so touching. It was literally, I love it. I got to go watch it again. In fact, we should put a snippet of it online. But we will. So let's quickly talk about you, because we're going to talk about the show that you're doing. But you started dancing when you were 8?
It's about 9. Because if you look at professional training, like, for example, in Russian Moscow, you usually start at 9 or 10 years old. Because at 5 years old, at 3 years old, it's mostly about sports activity.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to run, you have to jump, you have to be active. And at age 9 or 10, like, you kind of think about future career or future possibilities. Like, what are you going to do? So at 9 or 10 years old, like, you have to start, like, more serious education.
So when you were, you know, 9 years old, yeah, and this is what you told me, and I love this, that you were playing soccer. And your parents came home, and they said,
"Yes, I played soccer. I did figure skating. I did professional figure skating at age 4. So it's every day at 5:30 in the morning. You go. You spend like about 40 minutes of driving or taking bus or underground, and you skate. You skate. You skate. It's cold. it's not fun. I would say it, because it's a lot of intensity involved.
And where did you grow up?
In Moscow.
You grew up in Moscow, and your parents came home, and they said, "Alexei, no more soccer. You are going to be you're going to start ballet."
It's more serious. If you look at dance education, if you look at classical ballet education, it's a lot of opportunity in the future. We're not only talking about a professional career of a professional dancer, but it's, again, you may go like in a different direction, like stage management or management of company, of theatrical company, or like maybe stage design or lighting design, costume design. So it's, again, it's many, many possibilities in the future.
And so take us back. You said, I don't really want to do ballet. And then
I didn't want to do ballet until I was 15 or
but you
16.
Did it.
I actually, yes, I was a good student, but it's, again, it was like something I realized that I would like to do, like, for my life. It's mostly like, okay, my parents told me I would do it. But then at 15, at 16 years old, you kind of realize another 2 years and you're going to be adult. And if you're going to be adult, you have to have money and you have to make money. So it's a question about apartment or, like, travel expenses or anything else. So at 15 or at 16, you really push yourself and you really understand that it's going to be your future job.
And you knew at that point that this would be your career, your line of work, where you would make money? Because, I mean, talk about a life-changing decision that really sculpted where you're at today.
No, you know what I think? Because if you focus, you have to focus for about 100%. Because if you focus on 50%, of course, result will not be positive for 100%. So starting at age 15, I was focused for 101% on a professional career. It's like every day you study. Yes, every day, of course, you learn something. So it's experience. And I think it never stopped.
Right.
So for 25 or 30, for 30 years, like, I don't have any hobby. Because, like, it's, again, if you look at my job, it's my hobby. So it's 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
So you study, and because you're watching videos, you're watching movies, you listen to music. Of course, like, you read a lot of stuff. So it's, again, it's a huge thing, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, it's really hard to become a successful professional ballet dancer.
If you look at the intensity of a ballet dancer career, it's number 2 in the professional sports. Because number 1 is American football,
mm-hmm,
because it's intensity of physicality and speed and strength. But number 2, it's a classical ballet. Of course, if you talk about hike, it's number 6. If you're talking about other sports like gymnastics, number 7.
Wow.
But it's on second place. Because it's coordination, it's intensity, it's strength, it's everyday training. We train about 5 or 6 hours every single day.
Plus, who doesn't want ballet legs?
Yeah.
So you, I mean, you, why? How did you end up in Chicago?
In Chicago, we moved in Chicago in 2008, because in 2008 we started the Joffrey Academy of Dance.
You started the Joffrey Academy of Dance?
Yes, we were invited. Mm-hmm. We were invited, and we were first artistic directors of the Joffrey Academy of Dance, of the Joffrey Studio Company. So it was a great experience. It was a lot of building, because you start absolutely from nothing. You don't have students, you don't have programs set up, you don't have...
But you have the name Joffrey Ballet behind it.
But you have, yeah. And you have facilities in downtown Chicago, which is really, really important.
And were you dancing with the Joffrey Ballet Company at the time?
I wasn't.
You were not?
No, I wasn't.
Were you dancing with a company in New York?
No.
You came straight from Moscow?
From Moscow. Yes, we work in Cincinnati Ballet Company, because we came in the United States in 1997.
Mm-hmm.
So we spent 4 years in Cincinnati, with Cincinnati Ballet. We were principal dancers. And then in 2001, we started a lot of activity as teachers and choreographers, because we looked in our future.
Yeah.
If you look at dance career, it's pretty short. So it's about age like 35 or 33, you have to think about like your future possibilities. And if you like to dance, it's great. It's absolutely fantastic. If you can dance, it's even better. But you still have to have a plan B. Because like your future, it's not a dancing career.
Right, because your body can't take it.
Artistic director or if a choreographer. But you see, like, it was a great experience and a goal for us, because we needed to establish ourselves as a good administrator.
Right.
And as a good director. Because if you look at Russians, if you look at creative process, it's great. It's fantastic. If you look at the administrative part of the thing, it might not be 100%.
That's like with anything, creative versus admin.
So for me, it was extremely important if I can prove a combination of artistic skills and administrative skills and fundraising skills and working with the parents and working with the board of directors, etc.
I'm going to start calling you the professor. Okay, in studio is Alexei Kremnev from the A&A Ballet Center for Dance. Alexei's got a big show coming up, the Nutcracker, the Art Deco Nutcracker, coming up in December 6th through 8th. We are going to talk about that. Take a quick break and we'll be back. It's 720 WGN. You know what else I can talk about all day long?
What's that?
The Nutcracker.
Absolutely.
So joining me in studio from A&A Center for, A&A Ballet Center for Dance is Alexei Kremnev. Hi, Alexei.
Hello, Jay.
So we were talking about kind of your history in the world of dance, but really you're here in Chicago. You've got a fantastic show coming up for people of all ages, three and up, you say. It's the Art Deco Nutcracker, and it's happening December 6th through 8th at the Studebaker Theater in Chicago, and you choreographed it. What makes it different than the Nutcracker that we know and love?
I think because we live in 21st century. So, of course, if you look at the historical production, it was many, many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you look at the attention span right now, it's completely different. Because young kids are always on Facebook or Instagram or social media and computer. So if you look at the stage picture, it cannot be slow. It should be faster. And the storyline needs to be absolutely clear and absolutely entertaining. So if you look at classical production, it's a huge responsibility of keeping tradition in place, but at the same time, you have responsibility of giving a completely fresh new look.
So you're not taking a gigantic leap away from the traditional, you're just adding more.
Absolutely not, because it's a tradition. You see, like in the beauty of United States, especially particularly for us when we came in 1997, United States, it was strong, strong traditions. Of mm-hmm. course, like you should bring it on a different level. And of course, you should update the tradition. But it's again, it's a core of the nation and it's a core of culture. So, of course, like because it's a classical ballet production, we have to be traditionally classical in terms of explaining the story. But, of course, visual interpretation can be different.
And you're calling it the Art Deco Nutcracker, and that's because of the visuals that you have?
It's because of the visuals and because of the time period.
Mm.
It happens in 1920. In 1920, absolutely fantastic period in fashion, in architecture, in style. If you look at Chicago architecture, and it's a great view of what you have in your office.
Yeah, we do have a nice view.
It's many wonderful buildings. So it all reflected in our production. If you look at the backdrops, if you look at the production, you can find a little bit of Chicago buildings, of Chicago architectures. And style of the production, it's, again, it's a classical, but it's a lot of glamour of 1920s. Yes, all of this with sparkling costume, with like this brighter, yeah, is all
You're
there.
Speaking my language. My brain works in glitter, glitz, and glamour. So
and
I'm,
it's popular.
I'm,
it's popular because if you look at fashion right now, if you look at 21st century, it's still popular in a different way, of course. If you look at line of costume or fashion of coats, it's different right now. But still, you can find a lot of elements from that period.
So here's the bigger thing is that this world-renowned dancer and choreographer, Alexei Kremnev, asked me to be in the production.
Yes, it's our pleasure to see you on stage as Mother Ginger.
As Mother Ginger. I know nothing about Mother Ginger the Nutcracker, and nor can I do ballet.
Don't worry, we'll make it work.
What do I do? What am I doing?
It's a secret. It's a secret.
Do I
for
practice?
The audience. We'll talk with you. It would be a lot of inspiration.
Oh, boy.
Process. We'll put in nice, absolutely fantastic makeup. We have professional artists for makeup.
Uh-huh, that's fun.
We spend probably about 45 minutes of doing the makeup.
Great.
But it would be spectacular.
That'll be a great Instagram post for me. And I know that I'm wearing a big costume.
It's a huge skirt.
And right. Then the little people come out of my skirt.
Yes, you have 9 people inside of your skirt.
And I just, do I smile? I'm really good at smiling.
It's a cake. And it's a... And for you, it's a healthy cake.
It's a healthy cake. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
You have a lot of fruits.
That's okay. I had a brownie for breakfast.
And you have a lot of fruits around yourself and the whipped cream. So it's pretty much about like 3 minutes of choreography.
Oh, okay.
What you're going to do.
What?
Enjoy yourself inside of this beautiful cake.
So I have 3 minutes of choreography to learn.
Three and a half to be exact.
Do I have to am I coming to practice?
A little bit.
What?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about this off the... Okay, that's good. All right, but I'm going to be in the Art Deco Nutcracker. I'll be honest. I took ballet, I don't know, maybe it's like 6 years old. And then somebody said, do you want to tumble? And I'm like, no, I don't want to tumble, because I thought tumbling was falling down. And ballet at that point felt really slow to me, you know, because I was just doing
It is slow. Because if you compare...
I wanted to leap right away.
Sports is more active, absolutely.
Right.
So you have to keep a balance.
So this little kid in me didn't want to do the slow. So what I'm telling you is I failed ballet. Now you're asking me to be in this big production you're doing.
It's a new level. It's a completely new step for you, Jane.
Thank you. This will be great. Maybe this is going to be a big debut for me. So the Art Deco Nutcracker is going on December 6th through 8th at the Studebaker Theater in Chicago. I'm going to be Mother Ginger on the 6th. That's Friday night. So, and tickets are really, really affordable. They range from like $20 to $50,
yep,
right?
Yep.
Yeah, and
We keep it low because it's, again, if you look at the Nutcracker, it's a first experience for many, many families.
But
if you're young, it's the first production you're going to see.
It's tantalizing, right? It's like the visuals you'll escape.
Visuals great and the storyline, and plus it's a lot of fun. It's not serious. Like, it doesn't need to be like you sit in the theater and you read libretto like storyline for about 20 minutes trying to understand what is going on. Because I would like, it's like a movie. You go into the theater and you sit in your chair and you look at the stage, and for 2 hours you're going to enjoy it.
What if I do such a great job that I get a standing ovation after my 3.5 minutes?
I think we'll make it work. We'll make a stage.
Do I have to stand on my toes the entire time?
Yeah.
What?
No, it's a huge platform.
I know.
You're standing, we don't see your legs, which is probably it's a good thing in the classic
they'll be
ballet
shaking.
Term.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's again upper body and the arms and of course your face.
I'm teasing. I wanted to see if I could stand on my toes for 3.5 minutes. Probably not. How do we get tickets? Where do we do?
It's on the website information. And at the Center for Dance.org.
So that's centerfordance.org/box office. Can we just go to
it's a box office, and you can find on the website, it's a special page, and you can go and you can click it, and of course, like it would be theater sitting.
I'm going to have a sellout crowd on December 6th.
I hope
Mother
so.
Ginger.
I hope that's
what I need. but this is my favorite thing, too. If you're going to see me there on December 6th, which would be super fun, the promo code, Art Deco 15.
Yeah.
Why 15?
It's a 15% discount right now, and it would last another 3 or 4 days. So it's a good deal right now.
It's a good deal right now. Okay. So let's see. Art Deco Nutcracker, December 6th through 8th. Go to aacenterfordance.org. Get your tickets now. I would urge you to come on Friday the 6th so I can wave to you. That would be super fun. And we'll have a great time there. Alexi, thank you so much for coming in. Much success to you. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
That's
a pleasure.
Alexi Kremnev from A&A Center for Dance. It's 720 WGN. I'm Jane Monzuris, filling in on a Monday before Thanksgiving. Thanks so much for joining me this morning. I guess it is still this morning, a couple minutes till the afternoon. I want to thank my guest from today, Terry Bruckhardt. She is a psychotherapist who talked all about getting through those holiday woes. Chef Paul Verrant, and of course, the world-renowned choreographer and dancer, Alexi Kremnev, and travel expert, Amy Tara Koch. I got some good information from her. In fact, I need to talk to her a little bit more offline, but I want to leave you with a little reminder that I have. I got this from one of my friends this morning, that this week is the ultimate time of thanks. Let's start this week by focusing on what you're grateful for and let your gratitude carry you through. Send your worries away and focus on the joy and the good that surrounds you each and every day, not just this week. So we think about what we're grateful for. Let's do that all year round. And so I am grateful for spending this time with you this morning. And I think we're going to send it up to news. We've got Dave Schwann in. Oh, we're not. Oh, I got a whole nother minute, right? Oh, fantastic. Kasera, what are you grateful for?
Well, that's a heavy question. I had no time to prep for this. I feel like a pop quiz right now. I am grateful for work.
Good.
Outside of here, I DJ, mm-hmm. and I've been staying very booked and busy, so I am always grateful for work.
That's fantastic.
Thank you.
I'm grateful for my new husband.
Oh, congratulations. That's
Thank
so
you.
Cute.
I know. I mean, I'm the super lucky girl. I waited decades deep, and then it worked out. So, it worked, you know.
That's, hey, as long as it works out in the end, that's all that matters.
I love this little thing that I got. I'm grateful to you, Sarah, because you were whispering in my ear the entire time going, Jane, you need to break. Okay,
no, you did great. You were on time the entire time.
I didn't want my hand to get slipped.
With you and working with someone that listens. So thank you.
I'm listening, and I'm listening to our guests at the same time. Dave Schwann, what are you grateful for?
I am grateful for being right here with all of you and good health. And also, as I told Dave Plyer over the weekend, the way we've been able to travel and go see things around the world the past few years.
Well, very good, Dave. I'm going to throw it to you for news. Thanks, everybody, for having me. I'm Jane Monzuris in 720 WGN.